Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/GreenFestival.
You've got this tug of war going on between the government and the Bank of England. That doesn't lead to a stable situation.
We must face up to the fact that for too long, our economy has not grown enough.
I'm prepared to do what it takes to get us through these difficult times, to get us through this difficult winter, and to come out stronger as a country.
Hello, you're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics, your daily guide to the corridors of power. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Ewan Potts. Coming up on today's programme.
So the Bank of England has had to step in yet again to calm the markets after UK government bonds sold off on Monday. It was the largest surge in inflation-linked yields on record.
Well, you might remember Bloomberg's former bond trader Valerie Titov when we explained the initial crash. Well, she's back on the programme today along with our chief Europe economist Jamie Rush. We're going to talk about where the bond market is now and why it matters.
Plus, what happens to economic growth if Liz Truss can't grow the pie? We talked to the mayor of the West Midlands Conservative, Andy Street, about whether it's all over for levelling up.
So, Caroline, MPs back in Parliament today, and the focus was meant to be on the government's legislative agenda. Liz Truss will have been hoping for a calm start to the week as she looks to repair relations with her restless backbenchers. But once again, yesterday saw financial markets grabbing the headlines. Well, we'll discuss turmoil in the market for UK government debt in a moment. But first, we also had some economic news, Caroline, didn't we, getting in the way?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know whether it's getting in the way. Look, it's probably quite good given the cost of living crisis that unemployment has actually managed to drop to the lowest level since 1974. At least you've got a job out there, even if you're buying an extra sweater, as the British Retail Consortium reported this morning, because your energy bills are going up. On the other hand, of course, the labour shortage is a massive headache for the government. How on earth do you grow the British economy if you don't have enough workers out there? Can Liz Truss really change her immigration policy on that front?
Yeah, fascinating that the number of people inactive in the labour market jumped massively over the last quarter. You expect it to happen during the pandemic. People are still, older workers are still leaving the labour market, even in 2022. And a lot of students as well also leaving the labour market for that reason. Of course, one of the ways that the government could fix this is with more immigration. And I think Liz Truss has made clear that she's keen to do that, but that is hugely controversial, not least with her Home Secretary. And also a lot in the Conservative Party like that to be clear dividing water, clear blue water between them and the Labour Party. So that is a thorny issue for the government.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a massive hot potato. But, you know, economics and politics not particularly aligned on that front. But look, turning away from just the data and the reports we've had out this morning, I also want to talk about the Bank of England, gilt markets and pension funds. Hang on, all of you politicos out there listening to this podcast, don't go away. It really does matter. And we've got some great people in studio who are going to explain why you should care about all those gilt market moves.
Yeah, for the second time this week, the Bank of England is expanding the scope of its intervention in the gilt market. It says that its bond purchases will now include inflation-linked debt in an effort to avert what it calls a fire sale. Pretty dramatic language. Well, let's get some more details on this with former bond trader Bloomberg's Valerie Tytel and our chief Europe economist, Jamie Rush. Now, you guys must be hoping for a quiet day off sometime, but it doesn't seem to be happening, does it? Now, Valerie, a lot of our listeners probably understand the basics of government bonds, but just explain a bit more about what actually happened in the market yesterday. It was quite dramatic, wasn't it?
Yeah, so yesterday morning, the Bank of England tried to come out and reassure markets by announcing that they would buy up to 10 billion pounds per day instead of five. So I guess anyone out there, you'd think, oh, hey, they're buying more. That would assuage the market a bit. But actually what the market took away from that is that there are still some, as we call, forced sellers out there. There are still pension funds who are worried about making margin calls, who need to deleverage, who need to sell bonds, and hence the Bank of England needs to buy more. So they took that with a grain of salt, and actually at the end of the day, it went very sour. We had 30-year yields rising nearly 30 basis points into the close. And you have to put that into perspective that the Friday of the mini budget, 30-year gilts moved 26 basis points higher. So yesterday's move was almost as big as the mini budget. And we know, because the Bank of England told us in one of their statements, I think, at least on Friday, that it was purely that the volatility that we saw after the mini budget that caused this cascading issue within pension funds. So this is worrying the market. It's worrying the Bank of England. It's a reason why they had to come out this morning and announce further. And we really won't know if this is successful until Friday, right? If they have to extend this program another week, another month, the market is not going to take that lightly.
Everybody understands this already, but should we say when gilt yields rise, that's because it's a sell-off, isn't it? So the price goes down
and the
yield goes up.
Thank you.
Which is a little bit confusing if you're not aware of how debt markets work.
Jamie, what did you make then of this latest intervention? I mean, as Valerie was saying, it's two in 2 days. Basically, this is the cost of borrowing for the government going up. We've also seen the feed through into people's own personal mortgages, home mortgages. But there was also some additional elements. There was really extraordinary language from the Bank of England today about what is going on in pension funds and why the Bank of England needs to step in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they described it as trying to snub out a fire sale of asset sales. And that is the right language for it, because that's what's happening. There are pension funds being forced to sell some assets, which is pushing down the value of those assets in markets and making them have to sell even more. So that's the dynamic that the bank has tried to halt. The problem is, and what markets didn't like, is that the bank has said it's only going to intervene until the end of this week, which may not be long enough, because we're not going to get any information from the government on its fiscal plans until the end of the month. So I think it's quite likely that banks can have to extend this program until the government can give everyone some clarity on what it intends to do.
Valerie, just give us a bit of backdrop to this, because Conservative MPs, when you put this to them, say, oh, well, it's a global problem, you know, bond yields are rising elsewhere, central banks are also all putting up interest rates. And that is true, isn't it? So how far is this a global issue, and how far is this really particular to the UK?
Well, I find it funny that's how they combat these questions, because almost those reasons that they're citing are reasons that in my head would be, it's probably not the best time to borrow a bunch of money, UK government. You know, that the backdrop of rising rates, this is coming during a year where fixed income portfolios are seeing the biggest losses in living memory, you could put it that way. There is not a lot of appetite to buy bonds at the moment. Then they bring up the dollar. Well, a strengthening dollar is showing you that people are fleeing to quality, and they don't want to take on FX risk in this case. When you buy a UK bond, you're also exposed to movements in sterling. They want to hold dollars instead, which is more stable. And then they bring up the war in Ukraine. Yes, that's driving an energy crisis, which, you know, let's not mistake, is not just going to be this winter's problem. It's going to be maybe for the next five. And then the government comes and promises to shield consumers from that. Well, what if this problem is exacerbated this winter by movements in the war? All these things that these MPs brought up were actually probably warning signs a few months ago that this was a time to tread lightly.
Okay. Jamie Rush, in terms of that blame game then, Kwasi Kwarteng, I mean, one could sort of say, should he have seen that coming? Should part of the government have foreseen it? But even, you know, beyond that, have we moved a step further? You know, are we simply in kind of crisis territory? How do you think about it?
Well, I think it's very clear that the cost of UK government borrowing has risen by much, much more than other countries which have announced packages to tackle the energy crisis. So if you look at Germany, if you look at France, they're all doing similar things to support households through the winter. What sets the UK apart from everyone else is the unfunded tax cuts, and that's what markets have really objected to. How do we get out of this mess? Well, I mean, one obvious option is going to be to U-turn on the taxes themselves. That'll probably be the quickest way to defuse the issue, or at least take some of the pressure off the Bank of England, off government borrowing markets. Beyond that, they're going to have to come up with a credible package of spending cuts, and that's going to be extremely difficult because they've already cut spending by a lot over the past 10 years. The low-hanging fruit has been picked. So the Chancellor is in an extremely difficult position, largely of his own making. And he's going to have to come up with an answer by the end of the month.
Okay, Valerie, what next then in terms of bond markets? And, you know, should MPs be tracking gilt yields every day?
Look, they should. Honestly, the gilt market has not been functioning for over a week. It's a $2 trillion market and it's not been functioning. How can you as an MP propose more spending, more borrowing when your bond market isn't functioning? It's highly concerning.
And Jamie, just on the job market today, what do you make of these quite interesting numbers?
Well, unemployment's falling, but it's for all the wrong reasons. The reason unemployment rate's fallen is not because there are more people in work. It's because there are fewer people looking for work, and largely because of people the increase in long-term sickness. So actually, it's pretty much the worst number you could have, really, because the labour market is tight, and the economy is not going to get any bigger if people are just more sick. So it's not pretty.
Valerie, just briefly, is there a danger to the bank's credibility here? The government's obviously lost a lot of credibility in the last month. How is the Bank of England's credibility in the bond markets?
Well, I think that has a lot to do with what happens this week and if they are successful in ending this program on Friday. If they have to extend it, as Jamie was saying, we don't get really further details on the fiscal spending till the end of the month. If they have to extend it to the end of the month, that is a bad look. That they are adding stimulus into the economy. This is essentially a liquidity operation into the bond market, which inherently complicates their inflation fight down the line.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
The IFS forecasts a budget deficit of almost £200 billion in the current fiscal year, which would be the third highest on record. But many in her party are pushing for her not to make a real terms cut to benefits.
So lots of pressure on a weakened Prime Minister who's in a bind, facing a mutinous party and with very limited economic breathing room. Andy Street, the Mayor of the West Midlands and a former Managing Director of John Lewis, was speaking to us on Bloomberg Radio just earlier this morning. Now, he is a Truss backer, so I put a lot of these questions to him about what the Conservatives can now deliver when it comes to Trussonomics and what it means for his constituents. Have a listen.
It was a pleasure to host the conference. I'd say the same if it was a Labour government, actually, because it gives the host city a wonderful opportunity to show the progress being made. So that aspect of it was great, actually. But I'm very clear, actually. The government has chosen its new leader in Liz Truss. And where do we go, to answer your question straight up, is we get behind her and back her. any sort of notion in my party that we can go through another leadership contest, that we've got to examine whether we made the right choice, the voters would just think we were mad. And she has laid out a clear, I'll call it a strategy, a big picture thought that the state should be less interventionist, that we've got to have a higher rate of underlying growth, and actually we've now got to get behind her and implement that plan, because what voters want to see is people delivering on the ground, not talking about their ideas amongst themselves.
OK, but hang on a second. This is a radical policy mix. Truss and Kwarteng have no mandate here. They don't have a mandate from their own MPs, it would seem, nor from the public, really, and certainly not from markets. Surely more U-turns on this tax and spending plan are to come.
So you mentioned different things there. Let's just be clear. The mandate comes from the electorate that is the Conservative Party membership. The rules are clear. It is not for the MPs to decide. It is for the MPs to let the party members decide. And my message to them is that has been done, and you've all now got to back that. Now, that is a different point to the markets. On the markets, you're right. And no one is going to say that that was well handled. It was poorly handled, and the fact that there was such a market reaction disappointing, that actually we did not prepare the markets for the plan. So now, and the things like bringing forward the OBR date, bringing forward the appointment of committed capable people in the Treasury, and actually now looking at the numbers and coming forward with a detailed plan, that is what has to be done, because it is very apparent that we have to re-win the confidence of the markets.
OK, so we need to regain the confidence of the markets. I mean, we've had another bout of bond market instability yesterday, more Bank of England intervention. What do you make of the tax cuts, and now what we expect are going to have to be brutal spending cuts in order to deliver all of this? The IFS talking about £60 billion of cuts. That is twice the defence budget, and that is what has to come in cuts on top of a decade of austerity. How on earth is that deliverable?
Well, we don't actually know that number yet. That is a prediction by the very reputable IFS, I accept, but the whole point is the OBR report has to come at the end of the month, and the government's now said they're putting it forward from what they previously said, because that will lay out the balance between the growth and the cuts. And of course, the underlying point here is that we've got to accelerate the top line rate of growth. For the last 7 years, it's averaging about 1%. That was not sufficient to deliver the public service that this country actually wants. So we know that the transition from that route that we were on to a faster route will be very difficult. No one's denying that. And that's why we have to lay out how that plan is going to be navigated to win back that confidence. So that's the mission that the Chancellor's got to get to on the 31st of October.
OK. The public have no idea, though, about that, do they? I mean, you say that the average of growth has been 1%. Citibank now forecasts that growth in the UK for every year over the next 5 years will be 0.8%, 0.8% versus the government's view that they need to get to 2.5% growth. You know, that is a continental size gap, you know, in terms of growth. How do we get there?
Yeah. So the answer has to come into some of the things that are, I would accept, in the early stages of development in the plan. So improving the qualifications and skill levels of the workforce. That takes time, but it's right. Improving the connectivity, whether it be digital, whether it be physical, that takes time, but it also does drive inward investment. Very clear evidence of that. And most importantly, improving the tax advantages for businesses investing, because that too drives investment. So all of those pieces that can sound a bit academic, but the lesson of history, if you look at the countries around the world that have done this really well, is it is a mix of those different things that then brings about a better route. What the government has to say is how we can get to those things while still being able to address the public services we need as we make that change, really.
Mm. On some local issues, Andy, if you don't mind. So in 2021, just last year, you ran for mayor and were voted in, of course. You pledged to double transport funding to secure £10 billion of new investment from the government. Does that survive? Does levelling up survive?
Levelling up categorically survives. And the good thing is, if you look at our investments in transport across the West Midlands, it is now running about seven times what it was in the year before I became mayor. And in the last year, The government has agreed another £1 billion with us for capital investment in transport across the region. So categorically, that figure is very, very different to what it was historically. And just yesterday, we were talking to the Levelling Up Secretary. He was up in Longbridge visiting, seeing the regeneration going on there, and talking about the proposal for investment zones. These are like sort of enterprise zones on steroids, you might call them, where business investment will be focused in the future. A new policy, which is designed to do exactly that. So I'm absolutely clear, and I would not have backed the Prime Minister had she not in the campaign have been really clear that the commitment to levelling up stands, and there's evidence of that coming through.
Do you think that HS2, though, survives? If there's, it's bound to be a, you know, you can't have one or the other. If you have massive tax cuts, there have to be, you know, spending restraints and cuts, even if it's not 60 billion, if it's 40 or 50 billion, does HS2 survive?
Yeah, one word answer, yes. And remember, this is not a revenue spending year, this is a capital investment. Anyone who's run a business knows there's a big difference between investing in your capability for the future, which is what HS2 is about, and actually the cash out the door in year, you might call it. And the reason HS2 is so important is it connects most of the big cities of the UK with the new, reliable, modern transport system. And that will enable, particularly the cities of the Midlands and the North, connectivity north of Birmingham, to actually do more business together and improve their economies. And we're already seeing inward investment coming into the West Midlands on the promise of HS2. So, yes, I am confident that will survive. And if you look at the work that's already going on the London-Birmingham route, you'll see the debate about whether is well past. It's actually when it's going to open is the debate now.
So that was the Mayor of the West Midlands, Andy Street, speaking to me earlier. So he was absolutely adamant that the government was going to make the sorts of big investments, you know, that they've pledged, like High Speed Rail 2. But, you know, that is the real question. Can big investments be made at the same time as providing the tax cuts that Kwasi Kwarteng and Liz Truss have promised?
Yeah, Andy Street, of course, a really important voice in the Conservatives because he's a mayor who represents a lot of people. He has a massive personal mandate in the West Midlands, and of course the West Midlands is absolutely loaded with the kind of swing seats, those red wall seats which the Tories won at the last election, which Labour will be very, very keen to get their hands on. So important to listen to what Andy Street has to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Andy got the shout out, the sort of first thank you from the Prime Minister Liz Truss at the Conservative Party conference, because it was in Birmingham, so it was on his home turf, so she was thanking him. But of course the contrast is, Rena, quite stark, isn't it? The support for Conservative mayors versus some of the, you know, the fights that the Tory party have had with some of the Labour mayors over various of these issues. I mean, transport in London for one. I think that's going to be a kind of big question, but much further down the road, you know, devolution, etc. That's sort of not the focus, is it? Because there are just so many other issues to think about. Now, remember, Liz Truss is going to join the G7 leaders on this virtual call with the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky today. We have had harrowing scenes again emerging from Eastern Europe. There's a big escalation in the Ukraine conflict.
Yeah, and Kwasi Kwarteng's likely to be back in Parliament this afternoon. He'll be facing backbenchers and the Conservative Party. And then he heads to Washington for those meetings at the IMF and the World Bank. So plenty on his plate. Also, other news from the Treasury. The veteran James Bowler has been named as the top civil servant in the Treasury. Remember, of course, that the last boss, the last permanent secretary, was sacked rather dramatically when Liz Truss entered government. So interesting to see the new face they've put in place at the all-important finance ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think economics is front and centre for this government. I mean, on the one hand, you know, it is quite easy to be quite critical of the government at the moment because of these missteps around markets. But actually, you have to bear in mind that in economic terms, we are at a pivotal moment, aren't we? The end of easy money. It's posing challenges for so many governments. And so another thing I think worth watching is the Treasury Select Committee. We were speaking to Mel Stride when we were up at the Conservative Party conference, and they've got a number of people who are going to be speaking to them, including Torsten Bell from the Resolution Foundation and Jagdeep Chadha from NISA, who is speaking to the Treasury Select Committee tomorrow. There are going to be lots of questions about how and what this government is trying to deliver in terms of economics, tax cuts and spending.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.